we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, as promised, markets hit correction territory this past week as Russia launched a full invasion of the Ukraine. More about that a little bit, but the Dow for the week was only off 0.1%. Year-to-date, we're sitting down 6.3%. S&P finished the week up 0.8%. Year-to-date, down 8%. But this is a big and critical issue here. The S&P this week dropped below the critical 10% number, which signaled a correction. And we haven't seen that occur since the COVID lockdowns. It's been a while. The NASDAQ finished the week up 1.1%. For the year, we're down 12.5%. The 10-year Treasury trading at 1.97. Oil, another area we'll talk about more here in a minute. Oil finished the week at 91.91. It's up 22% for the year, but it did hit the critical 100 and go through that. And this was the first time we've seen this since 2014. So let's take a look at what's going on. Well, first and foremost, obviously, Thursday was a very impressive day in the market. Stocks staged a rebound on Thursday, and perhaps I'd say one of the biggest and most powerful demonstrations I've seen of the sell the rumor, buy the news market mentality since I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And here's what I mean. The S&P fell from approximately 4,600 to 4,225-ish over the past few weeks. And this was on fears that Russia would invade the Ukraine. Then it happened. And after the initial panic and spike lower, investors had time to digest the fact that even the worst had happened. And as the day went on, the news came out and continues to come out that implies that the event might not have the larger impact that was so feared over the last couple weeks. And I say that because the retaliatory sanctions by the US and Europe so far haven't been any worse than feared. They didn't kick Russia out of SWIFT, although they're talking about that now. And they completely avoided any energy-related sanctions. So the point being was that the West did nothing to increase the crisis. Now, as we know, Russian forces are basically at or in Kiev right now. Right now, Putin's talking about he's trying to have conversations with the Ukrainian government, but no one believes him anymore. He has zero credibility in the international markets, and the damage has been done, and he's doing damage, obviously. And I'm not trying to diminish the terrible human tragedy that's going on right now, and of course, the plight of the Ukrainians deserves all international support. But from a market standpoint, as things stand right now, what we feared most has happened, and the worst may be behind us. And in the end, not that much has changed with respect to the economy and the market here in the U.S. And if there is a positive to come from this, again, as far as the market's concerned, it could reduce the chances that the Fed makes a mistake. And let me talk more about that. I'm not saying the Fed's going to delay the rate hikes because of this situation that's developing in Ukraine. They're not going to delay the hikes. And I expect a 25 basis point hike now in March. I've been talking about a 50. I think it's going to go to 25. I think there'll be a 25 basis point hike in May and a 25 basis point hike in June. And this is due to the increase, obviously, in geopolitical uncertainty, which I think will reduce the chances that the Fed will become too aggressive, which is what I was worried about. Now, from a technical standpoint, I am seeing some price deterioration. Let me talk about that. There are two support levels that came into focus this past week. The first was, you may remember back in June of last year, we had a close of 41.66. And then in May of 21, we saw a 4,063 close. Well, the downside target of 4,065 technically is the new level that I'm drawing in the sign now. So you may want to write that down. For those of you who are Dow theorists, yes, the transports have flashed a bearish signal. But the pullback in the industrials that we saw has been too swift, I think, and I need to see a failed rally and new lows before a legitimate bear can be called in the name of Dow theory. Just to be clear, that is something that can take weeks, if not months, and does not mean we're going to see the market make new highs or not fall deeper into correction territory in the meantime. Just the age-old technical system, which has historically outperformed buy and hold strategies, is not decidedly bearish yet. So you may say, well, how do we play this? What should we be looking at right now in our portfolios? Well, first of all, commodities are obviously the clear winner here, with oil going over 100 and pulling back. And this is due to the fact that the escalating conflict can increase commodity prices. And it's likely that the export infrastructure in the Ukraine will be damaged as a result of the fighting that's going on. And so typically physical commodities will move higher, and it could be even higher than now if the situation continues to escalate. Exposure to commodities, futures more broadly, with overweights in energy and grain commodities might be a good idea. And that's because Russia is the world's largest wheat exporter, while Ukraine is ranked fifth, and together they export more than 30% of global wheat supply. So it's likely that if the fighting continues, again, infrastructure could be damaged, and that could be a way to do well if you have aspects to commodities. Now, I keep getting the questions, well, what do I see overall? Well, right now, look, the economic data in the U.S., and again, I'm talking about the U.S. overall, because that's where we invest mostly, right? So for the U.S., we're still seeing some pretty good economic numbers. The Purchaser Manufacturing Index, which came out this week, had a 56, which was pretty stellar. The estimates were 51.9. Anything over 50 is seen as an expansion for the economy, and this measures the economic health for manufacturing and the service aspect. So that was good. The unemployment number was very good this past Thursday. We still see the yield curve, although it's getting closer. The 10 and 2, as I talk about, that 10 and 2 curve is flattening out. It still is not inverted, and traditionally when it does get inversion, that's a red flag. So we're not seeing that, still not there. And so that's a good sign. Also, credit spreads right now still look pretty good. The leading economic indicator composite also shows that we're still in solid economic growth territory. So overall, I'm still pretty optimistic about this year. Yes, it's going to be more volatile. And we've said that since the beginning of the year. I've said it's going to be a more volatile year. We're going to see more highs and lows. And I still think that this bull market, if you will, is still in mid-stage, and we still have some legs to go. And the reasons I believe that, not only from the economic data I just cited, but also because the pandemic-related headwinds are slowing down now. The mask mandates are starting to go away, even here in California. We have accumulated savings. We have strong wage increases. We're seeing that this coming week. We're going to get the unemployment numbers for the month of February on Friday. That should be positive, showing that the labor market is strong and job openings are plentiful. And the banking sector is sound, and there is no overhang in any sort of business investment right now. So I think the base case scenario for a continued bull market with single-digit growth at year end or sometime therein is likely. So you just have to maintain the course, not panic, and remember what happened Thursday as a good example. So next week, we will be looking at that unemployment number on Friday and also taking a look at hourly earnings to see how those are progressing as well. And I don't expect any upsets there. So again, as this crisis unfolds, we'll just see how the international community responds. But so far, nothing out of the ordinary.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence, and that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.